The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. If God loves us and has power over evil, then why is there suffering and pain in the world?
God is not happy with what happened. God hurts more than you do. God is more upset with the things that go on in this world than you are. And the only permanent solution is what God has said, I'm going to make all things new.
Author Philip Yancey explores the question, where is God when it hurts? Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I are coming to you again from the beautiful state of Colorado. We came up here to be with Colorado residents that are in love with Jesus, who are highly effective. We'll be talking to Andrew Womack and his wife later in the week. We've got Philip Yancey back with us today. Philip Yancey is not only one of the most gifted writers, authors, I think, in our day and perhaps of all time, and he certainly studied the great writers, and when he talked about some of the profound impacts that highly visible people made on his own life, he really delves into, you know, what made them tick, and it's amazing how he captured that, but then also how he transfers important truth that's oftentimes overlooked. One of the books that he wrote years ago, he's actually now brought it up in a new version that is available online. Philip Yancey wrote the book, Where is God When It Hurts? Betty and I have experienced a hurt that no parent wants to experience. Children bury their parents. Parents are not supposed to bury their children. We bury spouses. It's an incredible pain. Where was God? We've tried to share some of the insight and hopefully the help. Well, Philip Yancey is here. What we're going to talk about today, and if you missed yesterday, go online and go back and watch it. But we tried to deal with the question why. This week, this day, we want to talk about what can the church do. Philip, I really am glad you're with us, and I want to thank you for allowing God to take the gift that He's given you, use it for His kingdom purpose, in my opinion, very effectively. You wrote this book because you experienced hurt. Sadly, as I know well, because I have read your writing, you were hurt by religious people.
Yes.
You were hurt by dedicated religious people. Bible-believing religious people who could bludgeon you with the Bible. And you came through with this amazing grace, and you wrote about what's so amazing about it. In your hurt, you asked the question, why? Where is God? And then you watched people asking, and you really went on a glorious pursuit to try to help. I want to ask you, first of all, because we're going to talk about what the church should say, but why was this such a, let's say, a passion for you to deal with the subject?
I began my career as a journalist, and I started writing these Reader's Digest drama in real life stories, people attacked by grizzly bears and caught in blizzards and all this. And as I interviewed people, again and again, I would hear something like this. They would say, I went through this trauma, I'm in intensive care in a hospital, I'm trying to get well, it's bad enough. Frankly, as I look back on it, the worst thing was the Christians who came to see me. The church made it worse. Because I'm lying there and I just want to get well. And some people come in and say, God's punishing you. You must have done something wrong. The next person comes in and says, oh, no, it's not God. It's the devil. Devil's attacking you. Next person comes in and says, no, it's not the devil. It's God. But not because he's punishing you. He's chosen you to be an example to others. And I'm just lying there. All I want to do is get well. I'm confused. What do I do? When I'm confused, I write a book because it gives me a chance to go to some people who know more than I do and investigate and go to the Bible and try to find some answers. And one of the first things I learned is our words don't usually help. That should have been a message in Job, shouldn't it? Because his friends came for 7 days and seven nights. They sat there and just grieved with him.
His comforters were tormentors.
When they started talking. Until they opened their mouths, I think they were good friends. It's when they opened their mouths and they had all these neat little pious theories about why God did this, why Job, you deserved it. And I love that scene at the end where God says, you know, I'm not even going to listen to your friends, Job, unless they pray through you, and then I'll listen to them. You're my kind of guy. Even though Job had been protesting and whining and complaining, and what I learned from that is, if you feel angry, if you feel upset, God can take it.
Yeah, he can.
He knows we just have a little tiny view of the world, so get it out. And what I also learn is those of us who come alongside, keep your mouth shut as much as possible. I've asked a lot of people, okay, these are things that the church did wrong. Who did it right? And almost never do they say, oh, there was a theologian from this university who came and visited me. And often they don't even say their pastor. Usually it's somebody like a grandmother. Mm-hmm. Who sits there by their side, who, when they need a glass of water, gets them a glass of water. It's not the words. It's that practical demonstration of love and comfort that people need. So that's my primary message to the church. Speak slowly. Don't be a Job's comforter. Don't come in with words. So many of the words we say that are well-intentioned come across wrong. You know, you say to a child, God needed your father in heaven. And the child's response is, wait a minute, I need him as much as God needs him. I need him more than God needs him. I'm just a little boy. We need to be careful what we say. What we need to do is just express, we hurt too. I know a little bit about what it's like, and I grieve with you. I'm sorry, do you need to talk? What else do you need? Do you need a meal? Do you need somebody to look after your dog? You know what? What do you need? That's how we show God's love even more than words in a time like that.
And I know through what we went through in the loss of our daughter, that has been the most help to me is the family and the friends that have let me know that they're there.
Yeah.
They're not trying to put all these scriptures on me, even though I know that they love God, you know, and they're right there. They know the scripture, but it's just being available and knowing that you're on their mind. Mm-hmm. That because I know when this hit us, I thought, why is the world going on?
Yeah.
Our daughter died. It should stop. Yeah. And I know a lot of people feel that way.
Oh, they do.
They think, do you not know the hurt I feel? So we need to be there for others just to let them know we care.
Yeah.
We don't need to offer all our advice. Through our love, God's love coming through us, that's the healing power that will come our way.
You know, Betty, I have a friend who was a grief pastor here in Denver, went to a very large church, so large that most weeks they would have at least one funeral, and always people in intensive care in the hospital. And his job was to be with those who were dying and about to die. Tragically, he himself died of a heart attack at a young age. But I interviewed him one time. I said, what have you learned? He said, what I learned that helps me most, I learned scuba diving. He said, when you're scuba diving, you can go really deep, but you don't want to come up fast. You got to come up slowly, slowly, till that mixture of oxygen and whatever works in you. If you come up too fast, you get the bends. It can be fatal. And he said, what I've noticed is that Christians who are around people who are in the depths, they want to get them to the surface as fast as possible. What they really need is somebody who would go deep with them and wait till they're ready to come up slowly, slowly. Not that you don't pretend you don't have some comfort and answers. Of course you do, but let the person grieving set the stage of when they're ready to move up, when they're ready to move up.
Well, one of the things that I've done along the way is journal. Mm-hmm. And if you read my journaling, you would see that one day I might just be on the mountaintop and I'm you know, that joy's there. But the next day, I might be shouting out and be angry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it is definitely a process.
It is a process. And I, for those who maybe don't feel comfortable journaling, I'll say, you've already got the journal. Just read the Psalms. Read the Psalms.
That's
true. You go to the hospital and you want to read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Back up one psalm, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the psalms show that exactly what you said. It's like a heart, printout. up and down, up and down. And that's just...
But we must not be discouraged because of that, because that is the healing
process. That's right. And there is a way to get to that, yeah. Psalm 23, mm-hmm. but you have to go through Psalm 22 to get there.
Rick Warren said to our pastor, Robert Morris, and of course we did all we could to be an encouragement and comfort when Rick Warren mm-hmm. lost his son, mm-hmm. and it was not too many months after us losing our daughter. Totally different circumstances, but he said to Robert in a brief conversation, he said, you know, I don't think it's a matter of we're going to get over it. It's a matter of we live through it. Mm-hmm. We really never get over it
no.
because we never stop feeling it and caring.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about the cycles there in the Psalms, I was thinking, well, that was the journey of David and the psalmist, but it was the journaling of their journey, mm-hmm. which is what Betty's doing quite beautifully. I think someday we'll be able to share it, and it'll be a real blessing. The thing we're trying to get across to people is how we help people who are hurting. We really love them. I think we suffer with them. I had to write, right after we lost Robin, I wrote a commentary. You can go back to jamesrobinson.net, right back to the very early part of the year, because she died right after Christmas. We had the funeral right after the first of the year. And you'll see the article I wrote, Goodbye for Now, Sweet Robin. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. I think they told us that they were able to track 1.7 million people read it in the next few days. And that was a part of the healing process for me, but it was a great healing for others. And the thing about it was the comments that came, they were in most instances so appropriate, Philip. Mm. They were saying to me and Betty and Robin's husband and children, how much we love you, how much we care. The sweet little handwritten notes that just came from Beth Moore almost daily mm-hmm. To Betty, knowing as a mother how you feel. It was precious.
Yeah.
That was so right. We didn't need sermons. I've said to you many times, people in their pain don't need a sermon. They often need a shoulder.
Mm.
We really need to be a shoulder, bear one another's burdens. We need to learn how to do that. And I really wish the church, through these things that happen, could learn more about how to identify with those who suffer. Mm-hmm. And in our own suffering, as we learn the what are you going to do with it, that answer, because we'll never get a satisfactory answer to why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we'll get a satisfactory answer to why in heaven. Why my child? Why my house burned? Why the tornado hit my area? Why did we lose our daughter? Why did disease hit us? Mm-hmm. Why did they get healed and we didn't get healed? You know, why didn't it happen sooner? I mean, I don't think we'll ever get those satisfactory answers, but like we talked about in the program yesterday, what mm-hmm. will you do with this? What will we allow God to do with it? And for the church to step in and help people walk through that what process. I've had so many people say to me, matter of fact, somebody said to me in a conference call just the other day that had everybody was killed on the plane but his daughter. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, well, then God had a purpose for you. And she's saying, we were all in Christian school. Why didn't you have a purpose for them?
Yeah, right.
Why did I live? And I mean, she's afraid to get on a plane. But her dad said that the greatest thing, he said this to a whole group of church leaders, when James said to me, ask what? Hmm. And carried that to my daughter and my family. I have no idea what that did. So that question of what are you going to do with this critical?
Yeah.
The church
yeah.
stepping in and the what the church does is comfort, not preach to people.
Right. I just learned today, James, that the very day your daughter died was the day I was in Newtown, Connecticut, speaking to the folks who had lost their children. And the hurt that you feel, that you talked about in your journaling, Betty, the only reason you feel that hurt is because you loved her. Mm-hmm. And what I said to the folks in Newtown is grief is the place where love and pain converge, where they come together. The crazy kid who shot those 20 little children, he felt no pain. He felt no love. It was the parents who had invested in them, who had kissed them goodbye that morning when they put them on the bus. So the hurt is right. The hurt is a sign of how much we love. And what we need to do is, as Christians, is to help absorb that hurt and express that love. I could say to the folks, to the parents, God is not happy with what happened. God hurts more than you do. God is more upset with the things that go on in this world than you are. And the only permanent solution is what God has said, I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to make this planet back to what I had in mind from the very beginning. It's a long, complicated, pain-filled process to get there, but you can count on it. And there will be a time when you'll reunite with that little 6-year-old you kissed goodbye on the bus. I can promise you that. Right before going to Newtown, I had been reading some of the new atheists, they call them, you know, and they were saying things like, this universe is a universe of blind, pitiless indifference. It's, we're a cosmic accident that could ever be repeated. Interestingly, when a tragedy like that happens, the New York Times never calls on those people to comment. What could they say? Well, what do you expect? It's a world of random accidents. They go to the priests, they go to the rabbis, they go to the pastors, because we say, there is a God. God feels as upset about it as you do, and God can do something about it. And that can bring some comfort. Your daughter wasn't just a 6-year-old little, like a flame of a match that dissolved and is gone forevermore. She's alive. You'll get her back someday. And that's the kind of hope that we can offer.
And the God that we know is the one that can change the minds of people who have that torment that takes them to torment and hurt others because they're not healed of the hurt that rages and burns inside. And God can transform hideous minds and hearts into totally new creations. And the other thing is that he can heal the brokenhearted, and he can make all things new, not only in eternity, but he can give us a newness of life right now in the midst of the storm. We can experience peace in the valley. We know that he's watching over us. I want you to know that Philip Yancey, you've written in, how do they get the book that's online now, the electronic book?
And it's we'll show a website, actually just my name, philipyancey.com. And I call it the question that never goes away, because it doesn't. It just keeps coming up as things happen.
Question that never goes away. But for those who are hurting, or they know someone who's really hurting, and they're asking all these questions, this is something that would be a tremendous blessing to them, as it has been. So here's what we want you to know. You can go to the bookstores. Of course, you can go online. You can order it. But we'll send it to you. If anyone understands up close and personal right now what it's like to hurt, well, we do understand that. And we want to see broken hearts bound up, because that's what Jesus came to do. Philip is committed to helping. That's why he's been called upon. He happened to be in some of these places where tragedy struck, but he's been called upon to be a healing factor because of the insight and inspirational word power God's given him. We're glad to send you the book. What we want to ask you to do, and this is the last week, and Philip, we really appreciate you sharing. What a blessing. We're going to give some of these little shoes to children that don't necessarily have a broken heart, but they have a need. And the missionary said, could we do something special? You give them water and you give them food. Could we give them a surprise? And you know what? Our viewers love to do it. I want you to see what a very special girl did. This is going to bless you. This is how you take a challenge, pain, and difficulty, and you make something beautiful.
Over the years, Monica's always been in special ed. Her speech has always improved, because there was a time when she was very young, we didn't even know if she'd ever say her name. We didn't know if she'd ever learn to write her name. This is who Monica has always been since she's been a small child. This is just the first time we've stepped out and let her be herself. She has watched Life Today over and over again, but for some reason, when she saw this mission project, she was really captivated.
She told me, Pastor David, I want to do this for the children. And she was just bubbling over with excitement, with joy.
The morning that Monica got up on the stage and asked the church family for help was just an awesome feeling for me.
And believe it or not, she stood up in front of this entire church of 300 people and made that same plea to help the children have shoes.
For Monica, it was never about how much money she had raised. I don't think she understood that part. She wanted to know how many children were getting shoes.
And it was amazing, the response. Every Sunday, she would stand in her commons area with her basket, and people would come by and just fill it up. And believe you me, Monica embodies that kingdom of God. She made this church come alive for mission.
She had collected a total of $6,000.
Yeah, I did.
You did? Through all this, I now realize that she has been able to express herself using her own voice and her own words, and not just to one person, but now all around the world. I mean, did I ever think that she would be able to do this? No, but God did, He knew. She's been passionate about it, and she has done it, and she has changed so many children's lives just because of her passion and her love to help someone else. And I just think that it's important that everyone knows that we all have a purpose, and no matter our mental ability or our education or anything, we all have a call and we all have something that we can do.
Please help us, children.
Wow. I love that family. What a beautiful mom. And Monica, we see Jesus. You're a sweetheart, honey. Thank you.
How many?
$6,000 Monica raised.
I'm gonna take this to church.
That's amazing. Okay. To give shoes like this to little children because it touched her heart. Betty, I find myself praying all the time that God will touch the heart of every believer, of every person, with what touches his heart, and they will do, like Monica, do something to inspire others, to literally be an expression of the heart of God. And I've said it many times, it's a play on words, but it's the truth, and then an extension of his hands. We are asking you to help us give 200,000 children in very challenged areas of the world where the missionaries have asked us, would you do this? In many of the areas, it'll not only open the hearts of the families and the children to receive Christ and the truth of God because they've seen his love, but in many of the places, they've already led these families to Christ and they just want to do something to be a special blessing at Christmas. So we're asking you to help us give shoes, these little shoes that are quite expensive when you get the typical ones like them in the marketplace, we get them for $3.60 a pair, which means $36 we can give 10 pairs of shoes. Monica gave many pairs with the help of her friends. $144 you can give 40 children a pair of shoes. We try to give them to them, just they are expandable, they're adjustable, a little larger so they can grow into them, and these are all weather and they last a long time. They're very durable. And of course, we got the small ones, the little tiny ones that always touch your heart for these little ones. But we're asking you to help us do it, and this is the last week. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, and say, I'm giving 40 pairs of shoes, or I'm giving 10 pairs of shoes, or go online, lifetoday.org, and say, I'm going to help. You can make your gift right there. By the way, if you write a check, make it to Life, but do call us and tell us you're sending it so we know we've got the shoes. We can tell the missionaries they're coming. We're sending you the little Christmas ornament. You're going to love this. It's beautiful. A little shoe, a little bronze shoe. As I've said over and over, it's a conversation piece. When people see it, you tell them, we're giving shoes. We're sharing the love of God. It'll inspire them to do the same. We're also giving the bronze Christian to those of you who will help us give smiles for Christmas. Cleft palate surgery, facial deformity, correction. For many of you, a smile. And those surgeries cost an average of $500. If you can give $1,000, we're sending the beautiful bronze, and I love it. It's called Christian. This boy, being held by a missionary, was held by our daughter, Rhonda, our oldest daughter. He came out of the sewers. That's where he lived. We led him to Christ, gave him a home. When I say we, that's you. We're sending this commemorative bronze to say thanks for giving the smiles. And if you make that gift, that very special gift, we want to send it to you. It'll be a blessing to you. Betty and I together say thank you so much for your love, your help. Please call today. This is the last week. Or go online and do all you can to help.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request our 2013 Christmas shoe ornament. This beautifully crafted, antiqued ornament is a unique reminder of your gift for Christmas shoes, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries. And you may request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Christian, by renowned artist Robert Summers. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, I want to remind you again now, this last week, we need your help. And please do what you can. Also, if you would like to have Philip Yancey's book, Where is God When It Hurts? And by the way, I'm sorry if you hurt. I want to see your broken heart bound up as only God can. I believe what Philip shares, because he cares, will help heal your heart and help you know how to heal the hurt in others. I really believe that. You help us give some shoes, some smiles, you ask for the book. Well, Betty and I want to say thanks to Philip Yancey. We're taping our program in Colorado where Philip lives, and you'll meet Andrew Womack and his wife. And so we don't have a studio audience, so we're just going to say the thanks to Philip. And there is where you can find his online book, an updated version, everything up and current to right now, what's going on. That'll be a blessing to you. Philip, thank you so much for giving us this time.
It was my pleasure,
thank
James.
You for making divine deposits in all of our lives. And again, thank you for watching Life Today. And from the depth of our heart, we appreciate your help.
It comes no other way.
Beth Moore, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.